It's good to see you at the Lord's house today on this Sunday morning. I want to draw your attention to Proverbs chapter 30, and specifically at verse 10. We've been working our way through in our calls to worship in Proverbs chapter 30, Agur's axioms that are given to us here. And in verse 10, it seems that there's just one verse kind of right in the middle of all of these verses that doesn't seem to fit. And yet it does fit because of the nature of this particular proverb that's given to us. Verse 10 says, "Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty." Let's put it in a modern day context. "Accuse not a worker unto his boss, lest he curse thee," or you, "and you be found guilty." It's interesting here. That word "accuse" is a very, very interesting word in the Hebrew language. It's the idea of slandering a worker before their boss to make them look bad, to cast suspicion upon them. One has to be very careful. I remember a number of years ago, it's been many, many years ago, there was a situation where there was some money that was left out on a counter in the office, and an individual took it upon themselves to teach somebody a lesson. So they took the money, and they came in the next day and said, "This is what I found left out on the desk. You didn't do your job and put the money away." Well, the story was is that that money wasn't there when that worker left at that particular time. That money had been placed there because a worker at the end of the day had found it stuck between the doors. The money had been put there, and so the after-school person just took that money and stuck it on and locked it up in the office, and they thought it would be fine to do that. And so there was an accusation made that somebody hadn't done their job. In other words, they had slandered this individual. "You didn't do your job," but that person had no knowledge even of the money even being there. It's a very important lesson for all of us, because all of us, in our human nature, we always have a tendency to think, "I could always do somebody else's job better. I could do better at that than they are doing." It's an amazing thing when you watch football, how many people think they can do a better job on the field? Now, I know after watching Florida State and Florida play yesterday that all of us could have done better than what happened on that field yesterday. All right? It was awful. It was terrible. But we always say, "Oh, why did he throw it there? What was he thinking?" You know? We are consistently, always, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, whether it's somebody at their job, we always know how to do it better than they do. All right? And here's a warning from Scripture. Here's a warning by inspiration of God. Be careful. Be careful about that. What is God teaching us here? As we come together to worship Him, what is He teaching us? Listen, folks, we've got to have the right motives. It's easy to come to church and sing a few songs and sit back and open your Bible and hear the preaching of the Word of God and walk out the door and go right back to default. Default mode. Everybody knows what that is, right? Default mode. And to walk out and not be changed. Here's an individual that makes a false accusation to a boss about this worker. This worker's not doing it and cast suspicion. That's unjust. It's not true. And the warning comes back to be careful, because what's going to happen? You've made an unjust claim to this boss. Be careful, because this one's going to come up right behind you and get you in the back. You're going to be cursed by that. Now here's the lesson. Number one, it teaches us that God is concerned about the fair treatment even of the lowliest of individuals. Fair treatment. That they are not mistreated. That they're not accused of something. Get all the facts first before you do that. Number two, it teaches us that persons in authority do not have the right to trample down those who work under them, to embarrass or slander them. Every situation must be weighed and understood and then acted upon. In other words, there should be justice. We were talking yesterday, we went out for breakfast after prayer meeting yesterday morning, and we were talking about the word equity. That over and over again in the book of Isaiah, that it says that whenever Jesus Christ will rule and reign on this earth, that He will rule with equity. That's a beautiful word. Are you acquainted with it? Are we acquainted with it in these days of inequities? I'm afraid that there will be such a contrast between the rule of Jesus Christ and the rule that we're used to here upon this earth. It will be shocking. Equity. In other words, God will deal directly in a very fair and equitable fashion. There will not be the slightest hint of injustice when Jesus Christ rules. He is so careful. And that's what he wants of his children. He wants his children to be fair. Now, we have to understand that when we talk about fair, we're not talking about our kind of fair today. It's so interesting to watch parents in the toy aisle at Walmart. All right? You walk down there and say, well, if I get this toy for this child, I'm going to have to get it for the other one. It won't be fair. Is that fairness? Is that how we weigh things? If I buy this toy for this one, I have to buy the same toy for this one over here because it won't be fair. That's not fairness. That's not fairness. That's spending a lot of money thinking you're being fair. But it's not fair. It's all right to buy this child something and then this child something completely different. Is that unfair? You see, what's tempered our fairness understanding today? It's been the world. The Lord establishes a principle of fairness and equity, and we ought to follow it. And as we come to worship Him, we need to let the Word of God flush our minds. Flush our minds of worldly concepts. And when we walk out these doors this morning, that we walk out with a spirit and attitude that's been refreshed and washed by the Word of God. And that we treat folks fairly, not what we think's fair, but what the Bible says is fair. And that we have that understanding when we carry our worship from this building, these four walls, our worship of Jehovah impacts how I live at home. It impacts how I live at work. You see what I'm saying? Worship is not insulated by these four walls. It's an attitude of heart that's carried out and it plays out in the lives of other people that I deal with. Do I hear an amen? Agur's axiom, right in the middle. It doesn't seem to fit, but it does fit because it shows us that our worship of God is not isolated. Our worship of God is not sanitary. It's not confined to these four walls and then we go out and live like we want to. Oh no, we carry it with us in our interactions with individuals and whoever that we meet. May God help us to be the right kind of worshipers. Worshipers that are not just Sunday only. But they're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday worshipers. That's what it means to gather on a Sunday to carry the truths that we receive into a lost and dying world and communicate them in how we live.